Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. I had to cut that short because that wasn't our opening song. That was some of that. That was the messenger shit up. I mean, that was the messenger's music leading off this show, and that was gonna put me in a whole different perspective. So I had to cut that. You had to cut that real short, real quick. And yeah. So let's go to the show. Hey, good evening. This
good
is
evening.
Co-producer.
Good evening.
Oh, shit. All right. Oh, damn. Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me hold off for a minute. What's up, OG?
I'm good.
When you come on, man, I don't know why, man. I feel
what
that sense of reverence. No, I feel that sense of reverence that, like, we got to, like, recognize you. I'm serious. And I never met you. You just got it like that. But anyway, here we go. Good evening. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of the World Podcast, The Attic. Yes, we are live. And tonight, I've got my cast with me. I guess it's going to be me and OG, and we're going to be seeing what the sisters feel from Nurse Carmen and Baby Sis. But, you know, right now, it seems like all of a sudden, the world woke up and realize that black people matter, are starting to realize that black people matter. And while I'm very, very appreciative of the whole initiative, it takes me to a different place when I think in 2020, I mean, that's still a fucking issue. We still have to have worldwide movements to decide that we fucking matter. I'm sorry, but I try to stay calm with it. But every time I think about that, that just kind of makes me a little uneasy. You know, as a black American living in the United States, I'm sorry, but I totally accept the fact that shit is never going to be equal for me. I'm sorry. And don't call me a sellout because I'm still working for change. I totally accept that fact in this nation that that's going to always be. But I also understand, and this here's where my fight is that we can make better strides. But it's never going to be equal. This nation, racism is so tightly interwoven into the fabric of this nation that, again, eventually it's going to leave, but eventually it ain't here yet. We're going to get through what's going on right now with the current leader that we have, I think, inviting this type of attitude or mentality in the nation. But I gotta say this, if it wasn't already there, then you still can't invite it. You can't excite it. So the fact that he was successful in what he aimed to do, and that is to wake up the races, but he wanted to do it against one another. Again, if you didn't have those racist ass thoughts in you, then there's nothing for him to wake up. And this is why we see so many different denomination or ethnicities of people out protesting. Because, again, a lot of people don't have that racist germ in them, but a whole bunch still got it. They may try to shake that shit off, like taking some cough medicine or some shit. But again, a lot of it is not their fault. If you were born and raised in a racist-ass household, let me tell you something. You're going to, if you want to break from that, you're going to break from that. But you are always who the fuck you are. And that don't make it bad. So I'm not trying to say that makes it bad. But again, only through repetition, for lack of a better word, intermingling with those that you have been trained or taught not to like, constant involvement with them, and then you decide. But when you make that decision is not based on a race. If you and Ahmed make acquaintance and you and Ahmed fall out, well, that don't make Ahmed's whole race fucked up. That means you. I mean, does that make sense? And I think as a nation, we have to get to that, because it's so easy for people to meet people of different ethnicities and have a bad meeting, and therefore that whole goddamn culture, and that was the GOT culture, to you is fucked up. But here's my first question I want to put to my cast tonight, and I want you to tell me how you feel about this. Being black, Hispanic, what does that mean to you in your everyday walk of life? Do you think you have, and again, I'm not guiding your whole response, but these are some of the questions that I want you to think about when you respond. Do you think that you being black or Hispanic makes a difference in your everyday life? Come on, OG. Let's get it started, OG. Talk to me.
Well, can I address this from a different viewpoint? I submit to you that until the old saying, you got to clean your own house before you go clean somebody else's. I submit to you that until we, and I've said this for decades, that until we respect each other, I see no reason why we should think that others respect us. We go around shooting up parties and sidewalks with such abandon, it's almost as if they don't need to kill us. We're killing ourselves.
OG, let me just say this to you. I got to interrupt. Just one second. One second, OG. You got to remember, part of the black culture, the black experience, the black plight, we've always cleaned other people's houses before we clean our own. That's just how we were brought into this nation. So when I hear you say that, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but that's not part of our culture. You think about that. Even as slaves,
you had to take care
of somebody's house before yours was taken care of. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, I can't accept that. That's a cop-out, really. I respect your position, but it's a cop-out. It's saying that we're incapable of doing it. When we march down a street that's loaded, that's occupied by drug dealers, and tell them to the face, no more. No more will we tolerate you selling drugs on our streets. No more will we tolerate you shooting up a 4-year-old kid in a car. They go after the father, they killed the child. Come on already.
Yeah, but okay, let's get back. Let me get back to my original question.
But
I hear you, brother, but I'm just saying, but do you think that being black or Hispanic in today's culture, do you think that makes you different? When you walk on the sidewalk, and don't get me wrong, I don't say we walk in fear, but do you feel equal like society looks at you as being, you know, everybody being one. Talk to me, baby sis. What you think about that?
Well, I mean, definitely not. I mean, especially from, and I'm not a man, but definitely from, you know, a black man's perspective, you're not being treated as one. I mean, look at all the killings that's happening now. That's why people are protesting, because you know, we're not seen as equal.
Well, no. How does you?
I mean,
feel?
The way we have to approach stuff, the way we have to, you know, the way we have to think about things before we do something, okay? Because we know the way we're going to be seen, or how, you know, or the way we'll be viewed. So, as opposed to somebody white, so definitely not being treated equal. We have to, you know, go about it differently because we're black.
What time?
Hold on, OG. Hold on 1 second, OG. I got to hear from Nurse Carmen. And I want you to tell me, how does that make you feel, Nurse? How do you feel?
I worry about our brothers out here. Not so much as me as a woman. I don't. But I do worry about our brothers, our young kings and princes coming up, and what's going on today, what's been going on.
It's scary.
So I'm concerned about it. However, I do see my father's point, because I've said that too over the years. Why do we do it to each other and then expect someone else to treat us differently? I do agree with that.
Now, and again, that is a very valid point, very valid issue. But you got to remember, And I know OG going to jump on me with the cop out, so I'm going to put my shield up first. You got to remember, to the black man, to hurt or to harm another black man, when you probably had that anger inside of you for somebody that wasn't black, was not as rough as a penalty as if you had harmed somebody white. So, again, history. I mean, you see this happening over and over again. It is institutionalized. And we have, throughout the years, understood that if I go out and I have anger and I go hit or hurt another black man, let's say, for example, I break his jaw, something like that might get me 2 years in jail. But if I go out and do that same thing to somebody white, I'm never coming home. So subliminally, you are understood that if you harm somebody black, the penalty ain't as much. And over years and generations of seeing that happen, that's why we have black, so much black on black crime. That's what I believe.
I see differently. If I see a person that looks like me, the last thing I want to do is hurt them. I feel a sense of comfort anywhere I go when I see another person of color also representing. And it feels like I'm doing it to my sister or my brother or my aunt or my uncle. That's how I feel about it.
You know what, Nurse Carmen? I thank God. I thank God that there are people like us, and I have to say us, that feel that way. But they're not, everybody's not there. But I do. When I travel abroad, even in the military, it's just a comforting feeling. And
yes.
I had the opportunity to go to Africa, and that excuse me 1 second, we're going to get off subject for just a minute. That totally fucked me up, because I thought I was going to walk my ass into Africa, and them jokers was going to look at me like, brother, hell no. That messed me up. It took a minute to regenerate my brain to understand that shit, man. They wasn't looking at me. I was like that sellout nigga that they was looking at me like that. And I'm sitting there with open arms, and I was like, damn. But anyway, I think that as a black person or a person that's not white, I think that life for us is much harder, because in order to be considered good on the scale, we have to be great just to be considered good. So when you go for it, even to this day, if you go for an interview, it's down to two people, you and somebody of color and somebody not of color, somebody that's Caucasian. In your mind, you are already thinking that he's going to get that job just because he's Caucasian. And again, more times than not, that might be true, but that's not always true. But that's how we are conditioned to think. And I don't say conditioned to think as a weakness. I mean, when shit happens over and over and over again, then you have a reason to take that hypothesis and arrive at a goddamn fact. And that's a fact. But it's changing. But now, as a nation of people of color, do you think that somebody needs to step out right now and be the leader? Because right now, we understand there's a message being sent. We mad as hell and we ain't going to take it no more. But do you think there needs to be somebody that needs to step out and say, I mean, like a Malcolm X, like a Martin Luther King, I mean, a black leader, excuse me, a leader of color, because it don't have to be a black leader, but a leader of color that understands and can be the face for this whole movement. What do you think about that? And let me say this. If you think there needs to be one, who would you recommend to initially fill that role? And I'll explain while I say initially. Go ahead, talk to me. Do we need a leader, and who should it be? Talk to me, Cass.
I think Barack. He has the intellect. He has the experience. And he has the connections, if you will, to reach power. You got to remember one thing. This is all about power. It's all about power. It's simple. There are white people in this country who live in conditions worse than ours. I remember who was the Senator Eastland from Mississippi. Was it Eastland? I believe it was Eastland, who is quoted as saying what he would rather not be. And to put a short to it, he said before he would be poor white trash, he'd rather be an N-word. He'd rather be your N-word. I don't know. I'll say Negro. He'd rather be a Negro. It's a pecking order.
The word was.
I think that's why blacks who move into a predominantly white neighborhood have problems, because white folks who left the big cities went to the suburbs thinking they had made it. Black family moves in next door. They suddenly think that they didn't make it that much. That if he can afford what I can afford, I made no progress. And
I don't think it's like that to this day, man.
It's part of the bias that white people in the suburbs have. I'm not talking about Joe Redneck. I'm talking about.
Oh, you talking? Okay, you talking about? All right, the upper class.
Not even yet. No, I'm not. That's all. No, another word. I'm talking about the white middle class.
Okay.
A white middle class.
All right, I got you.
Whose children, by the way, are out there in the streets with us now. And the only reason they've been pent up.
Without struggle, there could be no progress. So, again, I want to say on behalf of the addict, I'm glad to have every nationality out there going through this shit with us again, because you got to understand, it's not a hard principle to digest. I'm sorry, but I got to drop another F-bomb. The fucking fact that everybody should be treated the same, you got to be fucked up in your head to be against that. I'm sorry, on any level. I don't give a damn where you are. Everybody should be treated the same. And if you got a real fundamental issue with that, then you fucked up. I'm sorry. I had to get all them F bombs out because we was just joined by the messenger. And he might want to counsel my ass after the show. but again, I like that choice though. I did. I thought about a lot of people, and I got to tell you, OG, Barack's name never came up to me. But you know what? When you said that, everybody I considered just faded away. Because that would be, I'm sorry, that would be the natural choice. And I think, because again, he has that intellect that will talk and be able to communicate on any level. And it's not just that intellect. He's got that personality and the personification, I think, that people trust his ass, man.
Well, who were some of the people that you who was some of your choices?
I thought about Jesse. Jesse Jackson. Okay, here we go. Here go the question. Do we need a black leader at this time? And if we do, then who? That was the question.
Gotcha.
But see, once again now, I thought about, I didn't say he was on my list, but his name came to mind. You know what? Because listen, let me tell you why. Let me defend that shit for a minute. Because see, Jesse's smart enough to be a politician, but he's rotten enough to get some shit done for us that maybe somebody else ain't gonna. That's why I thought Jesse. No, don't you think?
Well,
for
right
a second,
now, I don't I'm even so, know if he. I don't it? Even know health wise. I don't even think health wise
okay.
he's able to
yeah,
do
I,
that
I,
now.
Yeah. I'm not. I haven't been following him. That name just came up when he said
right.
Barack. That's just a natural fucking choice to me.
Because
again,
with me, I just thought collectively of a couple of different people, not just one person. I thought collectively of a couple of different people that could just like could come together. And but when he said like you said when he said Barack, that just seemed more ideal. Because
you know
he would be more, he would just be more universal, Barack. But
Barack would know who to pick to help his ass. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
he would need, he would need a cabinet. He would need to have a team, a cabinet, a staff
he would know
or whatever.
Who to pick,
right. But you would need to, and it would have to be, a kind of like a variety, if you will, because you're going to have to speak to young and old, your cabinet or your staff, if you will. And I like Killer Mike. I think he's deep. I think he speaks profoundly to the issues. I think he's I think he has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in a lot of these communities. And
but
I think he could bring a lot to the table.
He's really good, and he can, but. He'd go off.
I said he should be a part. He should be a part of the team.
That's what we need.
Old man don't know.
He should be a part of the team because you need a mixture of stuff. You need hot and cold. You need a mixture.
Right.
You know what? Let me tell you something about Killer Mike. Let me tell you something about Killer Mike real quick. Again. You need that kind of understanding on a grassroots, on a level that I can relate to that shit. And I'm gonna tell you something. I think that would be excellent for him to be a part of it because you don't want all Saks Fifth Avenue business suit wearing motherfuckers.
Exactly,
up in
you don't. You have somebody has
up.
To
you
have
don't.
Their finger
nah,
on the
don't.
Pulse of what's going on in
yeah.
the communities too, and he has that.
Now again. You know what? See, you just, when you said committee, you just changed a lot of shit for me because honestly, I think, watch this now, we staying on the committee, just for a minute. I'm sorry, hold on. Before we move on, bro, messenger, if do we need a leader, who should that leader be? Talk to me, man.
I think the leader should be ourselves, somebody to govern over us. I think we should, just like, honestly, if you look at what they're doing as far as with the police force now, how they're reevaluating stuff and how they're trying to set stuff up so that they work for us. And our problem is, no matter who it is, and except for Brother Barack, and it was just something special about him, but no matter who it is, power changes people. But when you get that power within a group, then you can keep some balance. But
that's why I said it should be a group of people, not just one person.
Right, right. Actually, with the brother, the Killer Mike you was talking about, I understand him. I was just saying how he could get buck wild at times. That's what I was getting ready.
That's why he wouldn't be the only person on this. It would be collectively a group of people. He would just be one of them.
I think there should be like a couple of felons on the panel, and watch this. I'm talking about some fucking felons. Because let me tell you something, man.
There's another Muslim brother. I can't think of his name. You know who I'm speaking about, messenger? I think his name is Kwame. Is it Kwame? I think they call him. He's a Muslim brother. He speaks a lot on MSNBC. He would also be good to be a part of that.
You got to watch this. I'm sorry. But you got to have Minister Farrakhan on the panel.
No, you don't.
Why?
No, you don't.
Whoa.
You don't have to have him.
You
don't have to have him per se. There's a lot of other people that are just as in. I mean, I haven't even seen, heard, or high tell of him since I don't know when. There's so many other people that have been.
No, that man. Listen, I'm just saying. What's this? I'm just saying.
You got a message.
Again, we're talking about a panel of people. So I'm sorry if everybody that I recommended to be on the panel happens to be of color, but you got to remember something. Even with that, from the naked eye, it might seem like, well, shit, that's bias. But let me tell you something, and anybody disagree with me and prove me wrong. Throughout history, there is no doubt that black people had just been conditioned to take care of white people. I'm sorry. So not having any, I mean, am I wrong? Come on now, talk to me.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that that the panel shouldn't be just, you know, people of color. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be Farrakhan. That's all I'm saying. That's not him per se.
Okay. All right. But again,
all I can say is Farrakhan's a prophet, and I think you ought to listen to what he could say to you.
What you want
to
do? Follow for
now. There's a lot of prophets out there that you can listen to besides him.
How about some females? All I hear is men folk up here.
Well, once again,
and there's a lot of them out there that could bring a lot to the table too.
You damn right.
I like Abrams.
Absolutely.
And she's a good one.
You know who I'll put in there? What's that? Oh, Elizabeth
AOC
Warren
from New York.
No, Warren would make the committee.
Tamika Mallory is another good activist. I would have her on that panel. Tamika Mallory, she's another black good activist, young lady. That's in tune, got her finger on the pulse of what's going on in these communities out here in these streets. Very active.
But I have to tell Elizabeth Warren, listen, I really, really need you. I want your voice. But I got to tell you that it's gonna be a predominantly black committee, but I really want you on it, and you're not a.
No, I don't want white folks on it.
Nah, I disagree with that.
It's my business to handle it.
Right. Okay. But I disagree with that.
Right. And I'm trying to say
so which one you want.
We've got to show them that we're better. So because we're better, we want a mixture. But as a matter of fact, I don't care if it's all white. It doesn't matter as long as you're working with an equal playing field. That's all that matters. Who does it does not matter to me. As long as it's equal. If you're going to give him $1,000 for waking up this morning, give me the $1,000. I don't care what color you are. I don't care anything about you as long as it's equal.
That's one of them.
I don't trust the SOB.
Well, now let me say this to you, okay? Again, I think that the committee, again, this is me putting together the committee. So everybody would have their own committee if this was a real world. You know what I'm saying? So my committee is looking at shit from my perspective. That's who I put together. But it's just so funny. Soon as you said Barack Obama, I'm serious. I just seen people leaving. I've seen people leaving because that man, I'm sorry, is just so powerful to me as a person. You know what I'm saying? That I wouldn't even put anybody on the committee. Yo, Barack, you put motherfuckers on there. That's how I'm just saying one selection will take care of all that shit for me when you said Barack. And it's so funny that I went through a lot of names, but his name wasn't one of them that I came up with. But soon as
you tell you what, he's gonna reach into the entertaining arena. He's gonna go into all those different because he realizes that it's gonna take all of that in order to get this done. He did it when he ran for president because all of that is what helped him. He realizes that he crosses all of those different lines because he knows it's going to just take more than just one particular thing to get the job done.
But I am pleased to say that a lot of black actors, entertainers, those with money to help finance some shit, are actually, speaking out, and normally that's rare, because usually they're looking at, I have to protect my income, and it is good, and they have a voice, they have a permanent automatic stage, meaning whatever the hell they are, there's going to be at least a camera or two trying to record the goings on, so it's real nice to see athletes stepping up. And again, I say it with passion. I say it as I was reading it from a script. If you, as an individual, as a fucking human being, have a fundamental problem with all people being treated the same, then I say to you, you are a fucked up individual, man. I'm sorry. Tonight must be my night for dropping F-bombs. But I mean that. If you got a fundamental issue, everything else, throw that shit aside. If you got a fundamental issue with every human being treated the same, then you got some real issues that even therapy is not going to help you with. But that's what this nation is faced with right now. And right now, it definitely is definitely lopsided that people of color, particularly black people, are feeling the unjust and unequal burden on that shit right now. That's why we have the Black Lives Matter. And again, you know what? Just the thought or just the fact that I have to have an organization to remind anybody that anybody else is important. As a society, we have deteriorated to some fucked up shit, man. If that's what we look at as society, that I need an organization to tell the world that I'm important, that's not right. And let me say this to you. If let's just go with it for a second. We're going to walk down this road and okay, we have a mass meeting. People of color get together. Excuse me. People against bullshit get together. Barack is the man. What kind of shit should Barack start asking for?
Reparations?
You think? I'm just saying. Okay. We went through all
that.
This.
Mess him up.
We got a world leader. What's the first thing he should ask for?
I said mine.
Now, if you say reparations, right, watch this. Off the bat, we start building division.
I know it.
Because I hear what you're saying. Because off the bat, And somebody going to say, hey, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were starting fair. Now, if we start this new world off with reparations, then we already give you an upper hand. So,
yeah, but listen, no.
Go ahead, talk to me, man.
The very fact that you're setting up this committee admits that there is no equality. So if you want to make it an even playing field, you got to level the playing field first. Playing field is lopsided. Now I'm saying to level the playing field, you pay for what you did to my ancestors.
But see, let me say this to you, OG. From the bottom of my left titty, I feel you, man. I do. But if we're going to really, really, really come into this and we're going to say, you know what? Okay, from here forward, shit going to be fair. Then are we going to, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If we could reach that point. Because we're never going to get reparations. Let's understand
that. I understand that.
We're never going to get that. That sounds like some cool shit.
And there's never going to be equality either.
But again, if we get this committee started, well, if we have this world leader, and again, we just fucking daydreaming right now with the world leader being Barack Obama. In fact, let's not call him the world leader because they got fucked up stories written about a world leader who's to come. But let's just say the leader of the United States. And I can't call him president because he wouldn't be a president, but a leader. Now, if some accident didn't befall upon him and he was allowed to do what it is he does, and again, I am certain that if there was a leader like Barack Obama, I bet you he could organize without directly interfering with whoever the president is trying to do. Because I think the brother that's smooth. Does that make sense to y'all? I think he could be a leader. I think he could be a leader and let you know, okay, we got to respect the damn laws of the land. Now, if we don't like them, let me show you how we can change them. But we got to abide by them motherfuckers until we change them. I think that's the kind of leadership that he would bring if he was in such a position.
Yeah, but you still have, power does not relinquish itself easily. You got to keep pressure. And that's what these young people in the street, I admire the hell out of them.
And I do too. I really
they're
do.
Out trying to change the system. But power don't give up. You got to dethrone the sucker. If it was violence, it's with violence. I'm too old to get out there, but I understand what they're doing.
What you say? You ain't gonna be front line, but you know, in your heart, you with them.
I'm with 900%.
I hear you, and you know what? Like I said, this generation, they've watched.
I tell
so
you
much
what, you convince my daughters to let me out of my house. I'll join them.
No, OG. See, no, that ain't your spot right now. You know, that's somebody else's turn. That's not your role right now. But you think about it. I don't know. I'm always grateful that the culmination of people is eclectic. Because if it was a solely a black movement against a white movement, they would have smashed this long ago. They would have smashed enough black people would have been dead.
Been flowing with blood.
But you're right. But the fact that it is not a black movement, it is a movement of people who understand injustice have combined together, and that's what this nation is facing. Because let me tell you something. Because I think I understand some level, and that's a lot lower than the surface level, of racism in this nation. And I'll bet you when they put this shit together, if this was all not an accident. They didn't count on that. Nah, they didn't count on that. They didn't count on white people, yellow people, brown people, red people joining in the movement. See, that wasn't factored in. So therefore, now they got to pull back. If this whole, again, race revolution that we are about to engage in isn't a mistake. See, if the powers that be thought that if shit got hard, one side would divide and go, you know, side to side, then that would have been easy. Again, if that was a plan. And I got to keep saying if, but in my head, that sounds real plausible. So we talked about what being black means to you on this show. And I think that we got a general consensus that, again, it just the fact that you are black or you are a person of color, you instinctively understand that shit is never going to be real equal for you. So if you are to succeed to true greatness, then even to be considered good at the level of people who want to keep you out, you have to continue to strive for that. You know you're the best in the organization, but because you are who you are, the best I'm going to do for you is give you an entry-level position. Hopefully we'll get your ideas and your greatness at that entry level so we continue to take advantage of your brain power at a higher level. And because I'm black, I understand that if I am going to attempt to grow, I got to understand and I got to agree within myself to go through that shit. And again, a lot of times if you persevere, yeah, you'll come through it. But let me tell you something. That bullshit about hard work overcomes everything, you stop that. That's really not true. That's really not true. There are certain things in this world that you're never going to do. I don't care how much hard work you put into it. But there's so many more things that you can do. So when you really understand that, I'm going to put more time into doing what I can do than opposed to thinking about what I can't. See, that's a state of mind that successful people of color have to really come to grips with. We talked about, do we need a leader? And again, somebody's got to be the voice of the organization. Everybody, you know, we have a movement going, but there's no face of the movement. There are many faces, but in order to be a good communicator, somebody has to step up and say, yes, I'm going to lead this movement. Now, who that somebody is, again, I think we all collectively agree that that somebody should be Barack. But on another note, Barack understands the FBI, CIA, and Barack understands on a different level how government really works. And Barack probably understands that he don't want to be a man in some airport tower in a place that's not on the map. So,
yeah, but he knows what levers to push. That's one advantage he has over everybody. He knows what levers to push and what levers not to push.
Well, again, Black Lives Matter, folks, and I know I went on a little extra time on a little post-monologue, as it were, but it's important that we understand that, man. And it's important that we understand the mere fact that people of color have to have banners, parades, people across the nation screaming the same message that Black Lives Matter. That means our nation has recessed to a real low level, man. And only
Said in the beginning, you got to teach that to them young punks out on the street.
Well, I ain't gonna call them punks, man. They got a way of getting their message across. And I gotta say,
If you shoot up a street party, you're a punk. What happened? When I was a kid, you went one on one in the schoolyard. You didn't take a machine gun.
No, man, come on, G. Listen. Watch this. Trust me, I feel you on that. But that's not happening anymore. No, that's not. But you got to say this in favor of those who are out there, or those who are out there tearing shit up, not the protesters. Let's bifurcate that. They got people's attention because they ripping shit up. Huh? You know, I think so.
Not exclusively the protesters.
Well, again, no. Not so much the protesters. I'm talking about those people out there burning shit up and busting windows. Those are the people I'm talking about. See, they got the attention. Those, I give more credit to them than the peaceful protesters. Because, again, peaceful protesting, station is used to that shit.
No.
Burning.
I might have misunderstood what you said.
I said the nation is used to peaceful protesters, but they are not mentally set for the kind of protest when you have property and shit being burned and destroyed. They wasn't counting on that. That's what I'm saying.
I think that dilutes your message.
We don't condone that.
Listen, if they had asked me, is this what we're going to do, I probably would have said no. No, we're not going to do that. But I can't say I'm pissed off at them for doing it. If you ask me, I'm going to say no, let's not do that. Let's go a more conventional way. But then I'm not mad at
you. You allowed him. Go ahead.
If you stop and take a look, and once again, I don't condone it either, but if you take a look at where the real change is being taken, was being placed right now, it's due to the destruction that was had. Those peaceful marches just got the attention, but that destruction is what got people to move and change laws and stuff. Because they couldn't control that and they couldn't have it. So it's not a good thing, but that is what really got change going, the fact that they were tearing up stuff.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
Hey, hold on one second, Triple OG. Go ahead, Sister Tippy. Tell me why you disagree.
I'm not sure. And that's my honest... I think change is coming. I'm more upset about the people being killed, about George Floyd, than I am about property being destroyed. And I think the collective people protesting is more important and more effective than I think the destruction got attention, but I don't think that's why change is happening. I think because it's so, the call for change is now so pervasive, you know, because of the protests and because finally people are hearing it. I don't know, maybe I'm just refusing to believe it just because that's the way I look at the world.
I understand what you're saying, and don't get me wrong, those protesters with everybody coming together, that solidified it. But it was the destruction of property, whereas the people that were marching, they were truly valuing a human life more. But the people that make the rules, they value property more. And when they started tearing up stuff, they said, we got to give the people what they want to quiet them down.
So that they don't burn up more stuff.
Okay. Hey, this is co-producer. I'm going to have to interject.
I hope you're wrong, co-producer.
I'm going to have to interject because that's going to end our podcast for this evening. Hey, but listen, until there's some concrete change, the addict is going to stay focused on Black Lives Matter. And again, I tell everybody, and I'm going to close the podcast with this, the rest of the world, every other nationality of people, they already understand that their lives matter. It's sad that we have to remind anybody that, hey, I'm over here because my skin color is different from your natural skin color. That does not mean I don't matter. Hey, this is co-producer from the world-class podcast, The Addict, saying good night. Let's say good night, Cast.
Peace out,
Cast.
Good night.
I love you, family.
We love you,
too,
Kitty.
Okay. Hey, we're going to turn this into the Waltons and shit. Good night, John
Boy. You matter to me, co-producer.